Blog Talk Radio.
We worship. I love to worship. I love to worship. I love to worship you alone. I love to worship. I love to worship at your throne. Lord, at your feet, I bow my knee. There's no place that I would rather be. I love to worship. I love to worship. I love to lift my hands and praise. I love to worship. I love to worship. I love to sing to the Ancient of Days. In spirit and truth, my worship to you, all my desire is to do. I love to worship.
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 I love to worship
you.
I love to worship.
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 I love to worship you. As we enter in to your holy place, beholding the beauty of your face, I love to worship.
Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, just let us magnify the Lord just a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you, God. We magnify you. We bless your name. We thank you, God, for another opportunity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To give you the glory and the honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we love to worship you. God, we love to magnify you. God, we love to bless your name. God, you're good to us. God, hallelujah. We enter into the throne room. God, hallelujah. We will bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. God, we love you. We love you, God. We love you. Now make it personal. God, I love you, God. God, I magnify you. God, I love you, God. I want to be in your presence, God. Oh, thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, God, we love you, God. We magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. It is February the 24th. This is the last day of the last. Well, I'm going to get into that. Praise God. I'm getting ahead of myself, as I always do. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. You have now entered the Blog Talk Radio zone, and anything may occur. Welcome again to Blog Talk Radio. We are in the second month of a new year, and this is the last Saturday in February. Hallelujah. And we're looking for a great move, not only today, but in the coming months in this new year of 2024. Certainly, I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the CEO and president of Amazing Grace Ministries, and certainly we honor our co-host, evangelist, none other than evangelist Terry Rogers, who gave us an exciting lesson on last week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God she brought you some little bit of black history, because I don't know if I'm going to get it in today. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we do celebrate the fact that this is February, and this is is considered black history, and it's celebrated. But we are to celebrate our accomplishments all through the year, not just in the month of February. The world gives us 1 month. Certainly, we have struggled. We have made many accomplishments. We've made accomplishments all over the world as African-American, Black America, Latino. There's so many derivatives of the Negro or the Black individuals because our blood has been mixed with so many cultures. And praise God, if we were to get in depth in history, I'm giving you your Black History, praise God, segment this morning, hallelujah. We could say that our forefathers, I know Lewis Henry Gates gives a program on PBS, Finding Your Roots. Certainly I like that show, but if we were to go back and look at our roots, we can find all kinds of cultures, and especially those slave owner cultures in our bloodline. So we thank God for this month. We thank God for the accomplishments of African Americans, and truly we are moving on. But we have an exciting lesson for you today, a lesson that's going to wrap up this month of February, exciting lessons that's going to break those yokes and destroy those yokes of bondage. And we are moving forward. As always, as customary, we do our announcements. But you know our announcements. You know I'm going to ask you for a donation to keep Amazing Grace Ministries, this blog talk, running. And I'm going to ask you to send it to our P.O. box. Praise God. And I'm going to appreciate those that have already sent in a seed, and thank you. And if you got a seed that you want to drop into the ministry, you can either text me or text my co-host, and certainly we will thank you, and we will accept those donations into the ministry. Praise God. If you're blessed by this show, again, text me and let me know. Let me know if there's any other topics that you want to bring to the show. And certainly we will consider all topics and pray over them and allow the Lord to move, because if there's a topic that needs to be shared, we want to share it, and you can send those to me at 309-750-7584, or you can email them to me to Amazing Grace Ministries at gmail.com, praise the Lord. And certainly to all those that are listening in radio land, we decree a blessing. We decree a blessing. We bind the enemy that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy whatever there is that's going on into your life. Praise God. We speak over it in the name of Jesus, because you are connecting with us. And as you're connecting with us, we are connecting with you. Praise God. We are on every morning, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Praise God. You can hear myself or evangelist Terry Rogers. And I will give you that link. If you want that link, I'm not going to share it over the airwaves this morning, but if you want it again, text me. You might hear something this morning that you want to go back and listen to all over again. And praise the Lord, if that is the case, you know what to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's get into the lesson. We have a word on today that will captivate your mind, elevate your heart, and lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take you on a journey of peace, hallelujah, greater hope, and we're going to get you closer to Jesus. We are going to receive the miraculous in area of our life in this year. Praise God. And we are looking to God to perform signs and wonders and miracles with every challenge that we take, with every difficulty. We are believing God for the answers. We're going to give him the glory, and we're going to continue to worship him for the miraculous in 2024. And even when it seems like God has forgot about us, we're going to stand on tiptoes with anticipation, waiting for the blessing of the Lord. For the month of February 2024, our theme has been praising God for the miraculous. The theme for this entire month has been praising God for the miraculous. Now, I want you to hold on to your chairs. Now, the topic for this last Saturday in February is trusting God in my worship, or when waiting my worship. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Trusting God in my worship, or when waiting is my worship. I'm going to Habakkuk 2nd chapter. We're going to read the verses 1 through 5. They read as thus. Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 5. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. Verse 5:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not unjust in him, but the just shall live by his faith. I want you to circle that. Because a lot of people read that scripture and say, by faith, and they leave out his faith. The scripture reads, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. It's according to my faith. Yea, also, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth the house, who enlarges his desires as hail, and is at death and cannot be satisfied. But gather upon him all nations, heaps upon him all people. Let's talk about the introduction for a minute. This is, and if title for introduction, it would be Weight Watchers. Not W-E-I-G-H-T, but W-A-I-T, Weight Watchers. This is a self-sufficient age that we're operating in, and we don't need to permission to do or to change the things that are going on in our lives. We are taught to believe that no matter what confronts us, with enough energy, courage, and fortitude, we can forge ahead and brush aside any obstacles that we face. And we can take charge of the attitude that impacts us to give us wisdom and instill in us, that has been instilled in us. And under this premise, we can be taught to succeed. When all things are going well, it is possible to think that we can always take charge of our lives, especially when we are young and healthy and prosperous and completely in charge of our mental faculties. It is possible to believe that life will always respond to our strong-willed wishes and desires, especially when rank and privilege are constant companions. And the bright and morning sun, S-U-N, of opportunity shines so radiantly upon the path. Under such circumstances, one can conclude that we can charge appropriate and work and be successful in all situations, right? But the truth of the matter is this. Difficult seasons come in our lives. There are seasons when all that we touch turns gold, and there are seasons when the next step in our lives is so clear and close that we seem foolish to take this opportunity, right? But there are moments in our lives when God in his heavens and all is right with the earth, but this don't last forever, right? In truth, there is a season of loss, helplessness. Waiting comes to our lives. There are times when nothing turns to gold. There are times when we're waiting and don't seem to understand the delay. We're crying. We don't understand why. And then there are other times that mentally we may be physically fully alert, but physically we're suffering. One of life's most difficult lessons is learning how to wait on God through a day that's dry and difficult, a season where we are forced to wait despite our nerves of steel, despite our steadfast prayers, and despite our ability to know how to worship. Despite all that, but then our mindset tells us also that we need to take charge. And then we find ourselves unable to affect the outcomes that we want to see. For this reason, we find that Habakkuk is going toward the Lord with some problems, with some situations, with some questions. And a lot of times we say, I ain't going to question God. Well, Habakkuk did. Habakkuk questioned God. But guess what? God gave the prophet an answer. Not only did he give the prophet an answer, but he gave him an ability to be steadfast and to wait and watch with tiptoed expectations of what God was going to do. Now, Habakkuk was a prophet. Let me give you a little history. Habakkuk was a prophet, a minor prophet. He was the prophet of the book that bears his name, Habakkuk. It's a really small chapter. It's only three chapters. It is unique. When you get to chapter 3 in Habakkuk begins his worship song. He gives a litany of praises unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But prior to that, he has a discussion in chapters 1 and 2. So Habakkuk was a prophet, and he prophesied in the Babylonian of the Babylonian era and the destruction of Jerusalem. You know, sometimes there are problems going on in our world, and we have no other choice but to accept it. we can say and we can look at what's going on in Becca's time at that time, that the same thing is going on now. There is nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. Not only was Becca prophesied around the time of the 605 B.C., but we can say even there, it was based on, the book was based on the prophecies and the captivity of what was going to be the doom of the Israelite people because of their immoral situations, their immoral lifestyle. Uh-huh. And even the scholars and some of the histories talk about Rebecca being a poet and his ability to kind of write the vision. And I know a lot of times you hear that favorite scripture that says write the vision and make it plain. But God was giving him a vision and a plan of what was going to go down in that time frame. And a lot of times stuff go down and God gives us a plan, but it might not happen in our lifetime or our time that we live on this earth. But truly we can say that history repeats itself. And if we look at Rebecca, Rebecca was dealing with the injustice. He was saddened by the rapid injustice and the violence occurring around him. He was puzzled by God's tolerance of it. In his questioning of God, the prophet asks, why do you make me look at injustice? And we can see this. We can put our thumb in and say, you mean to tell me that I can look at CNN and look at this man that's running for president and all his lies, and yet they still undergird him and make him the head of a political party. Mm-hmm. So back in his day, this is going on. Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abides. Mm-hmm. At Habakkuk 3:1. Habakkuk was not afraid to ask the Lord questions, which shows that the prophet had a strong relationship with him. Habakkuk's questions of why God will allow suffering and evilness to go unpunished are answered. The Lord declares he will bring judgment on the people through the Babylonians. Now, God's choice to use the Babylonians puzzled Rebecca even more. He again questioned God. How could God use such a violent, idolatrous group of people to conduct a righteous judgment on the people of God? Habakkuk, first chapter. God answered Habakkuk by assuring him of the judgment that the Babylonians themselves would face at the later time. You know, a lot of times the Bible says, do my prophet, and go back and study it, saints. Do my prophet no harm. There's a Bible, there's a verse to talk about that. Touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. And we can see here Rebecca was talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, well, yeah, I see it, Rebecca. I see the injustice is going on, and I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. Not only that, I'm going to get them with the people worse than they are. But then God says, I'm going to get them too. But I'm going to get them worse because they are allowed to touch my people. One of the things that God will not tolerate is people coming against his people. You know, especially of us, we've been talking about worship. We've been giving God the glory. We've been giving God the praise. And we've been interceding, and we've been praying, and we've been seeking God. God don't take that lightly. God will fight for us. There's a reason why the Bible talks about vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. Because when somebody touch us, they got God to deal with. Hallelujah. They got somebody greater than myself that's going to chastise them, and the chastisement will be worse than what they did to me. So cheat me if you will. Prepare to be, see, double or tripled in your loss. Habakkuk accepts God's answer and shows himself to be a man of great faith. Mm-hmm. Despite the fear, suffering, and trouble the prophet faced, Habakkuk proclaims, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. That is worship, Habakkuk 3:18. We can ask God about events happening in our lives, and like Habakkuk, we can conclude that the sovereign Lord is my strength. I could just close up and say I'm done. Let's talk about the chapter, shall we? In Habakkuk we find, and let's say the application for today's word. Y'all, I got some minutes. I'm going to get out of here in a few minutes. Praise God. You know I'm long-winded. In Habakkuk, we find a word of encouragement for those who have grown impatient, waiting on the promises of God. We see a word of hope for those struggling to come to grips with dashed hopes, shattered dreams, and uncertainties. I don't know about you, but living in this day and time, living in uncertainty, living in the fact that they say job market is open, but yet I'm still struggling to find a job. My bills are due. There is a word for the people who find themselves ailing because of life's bumpy journey, who find themselves in a situation that there's problems, who find themselves on hard times. And certainly if we look at this month, and thank God this particular topic is good to wrap up the month of Black History, because if we can say that if it had not been for the Lord on our sides, we would not have made it. Black folks have depended on God all of our lives. Even in the day when they were picking cotton, swing down, swing low, chariot coming, they would sing. They have those distinctive songs that they sung to lift themselves up, but to give a message of hope. Mm-hmm. We as a people have always had issues and problems, and Habakkuk is just what the doctor has ordered. Some things in life we can't work out. We can have all the intelligence in the world. Just like I said earlier, we may have been self-sufficient, had a good job, six-figure jobs, could buy anything that we wanted to buy. But now God has put us in a position that we must depend and trust and worship and wait on him. Every child of God must learn how to become a wait, W-A-I-T, watcher at some point in our lives. So when we look at the book of Habakkuk, it is a book of prophecy. It is a book that is declaring what is going to happen. The prophet Habakkuk was disturbed by his generation's prevalent evil. Are you disturbed by continued injustice and destruction? The law of God was being ignored. People today look at God as if he has no power. They don't respect God anymore. But Rebecca was saying, how long? And God was saying, I got this. And so if we look at Habakkuk through chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we have three distinctive points to watch and wait, because our worship sets the tone. 2, faith to wait and trust the vision, because our worship stands out. And 3, faith to wait and trust God's justice, because our worship has set the plateau. Mm-hmm. Number 1. the prophet Habakkuk was burdened by what was happening to his people right before his eyes. He said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear." Habakkuk 1:1. The prophet's crying out to the violence still did not save the people. The Lord answered him right away and said, "Behold, ye are among heathens and regard the wonders marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." God is saying, "I'm still God. Mm-hmm. I see the violence, and I'm going to judge them accordingly. We have violence, politicians lying, shootings in schools, in our places of employment, in our homes. Nowhere is safe." And we can see that that same thing was happening in Habakkuk's time. I told you there's nothing new under the sun. And not only that, history repeats itself. The prophet Habakkuk realized God's promises often are not immediately affected or delivered. They're delayed, but that don't mean that they're not coming. That promise that God has given you, that promise that God told you would have, hold on, because God is working it out for you. We may not see it. Just like Isaiah 40:31 reads, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Worship is essential. It holds us together. But not only that, it allows us to transcend our problems. When we get in the right frame of reference, and worship will take us there. Worship will give us the ability to lift our hands up and praise Him and not deal with the trivial issues around us. Breakthrough power of worship. We can engage in worship and invite an invisible God to work in our lives. It opens the door to His presence. How many know that when we came on today, we invited the presence of the Lord to be in our midst? Through worship, we re-experience refreshment and refueling. It's the Spirit that finds us, and it's an unspeakable joy, hallelujah, and indescribable peace, meaning we cannot figure it out, but we know after worship, whatever the problems, whatever the situation, we know that God shall fix it. And most importantly, we tap into a breakthrough strength of God. Hallelujah. It allows us to walk in truth. It allows us to live in His presence. Hallelujah. And it allows Him. I could stop right now. It allows Him to fight our battles. Yes, it does. Hallelujah. Two, faith to wait and trust in the vision, because our worship stands out. The Lord answered Rebecca, and the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision, make it plain upon the tablets that ye may run that read it." Verse 2. The custom for writing was that the Lord commended Habakkuk to write the revelations given to him unto the tablet. And you can find that back up in Isaiah 8:1. The vision was to be strong enough and legible enough to read easily. The one reading the tablet was to rely on the message to Israel of the ruins of the enemy and the deliverance of the country. Future promises and visions for God's required patience, waiting, trusting among the people. The vision was for a set and appointed time that spoke the truth, not lies. The fulfillment was immediately. The vision was not to deliver disappointment, but would surely come to pass. So there was a vision. The vision was to accomplish and to give hope and to let the people know God will work it out. What God has promised you in 2024,
We are literally on tiptoes with anticipation of the fulfillment of the manifestation of his miracles and the miraculous. We are going to have what God has said we can have. Why? Because we're worshipers. My worship is a unique melody which stands out in the grand sympathy of my devotions, and I have just made it personal, and I want you to make it personal. My worship is set apart. It has intimacy. It has gratitude. It has creativity. But it has my uniqueness. Mm-hmm. And it is authentic. It is genuine. It is not rehearsed. It flows out of the depth of my heart. And it is unfiltered. And it is raw. Mm-hmm. It speaks of my intimacy with the Creator who created me. It shows, it flows or overflows with gratitude for what He has done for me. And it unites me with other believers that have the same like mind to worship Him. Oh, it creates the creativity in me. Mm-hmm. It is fitted for me. Hallelujah. It is molded to me. Mm-hmm. And it must be consistent by me. My worship is my intimate relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I lift my hands high in the sky, I bless the name of the Lord. He is all to me, and all for what He is to me and what He has done for me. Mm-hmm. The song says, if it was not for the Lord on my side, where would I be? And we can think about it and know that if it had not been for the Lord on our sides, the enemy would have swallowed us up and killed us and crumbled us up and said, he's done, he's finished, I have killed him. But in our worship, we find the presence of a living God. And finally, this last point, and I'm going to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Faith to wait and trust God's judgment, God's justice, because our worship has set the plateau. When we think of the prophet Habakkuk, when we think of the vision that God has given him, when we think of the fact that he had to wait, when we think of the fact that God answered his questions because he was concerned about what's going on in his society. I know that you are concerned about what's going on in our society. But God also said and told Habakkuk that he must live by his faith. He must live by the faith that God has installed in you. And I want to tell you, your faith increased when your worship increased. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that one more time. Your faith increased as your worship increased. When you begin to worship God more, you begin to understand what it means to trust God. Because when you look back over your life, you can see God in the plan. You can see God's ability and what God has done in terms of trusting Him. I trust God to make a way. I trust God to heal my body. He has done that. We can go over to the book of Hebrews. We'll talk about faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, whereby it the elders obtain a good report. It is impossible to please God without faith. Here we see that God is saying, I am going to punish those that have done evil and been evil. My justice shall come. You may not see it, but it's coming. But we have to trust God and wait to know that what God has promised, the vision that God has given us, we have to know that it shall come to pass. Now, while we wait on the vision, and we read the scripture, we know down in time that the Babylonians did take over Judah, and the people went into captivity, and they were in captivity so many years, if not, go to the book of Daniel, praise God. And we see that there. We see that the Israelites strived in captivity. The three Hebrew boys, as we call them, and Daniel. And we go to the book of Esther. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. We see all of those Jewish stories that were of people in captivity. But then here comes the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans that God used to conquer and to overrun the people that have sinned against God. God told them in Exodus, I'm going to give you, or Abraham, he made promises. As long as your ways please me, I'm going to bless you. But here we see that we've got a prophet that is speaking to the injustice of the people of Israel and God's judgment of them. We need to pray for our loved ones that are not saved, our loved ones that don't have a relationship, our loved ones that feel like God is not in control, because we can look at what's going on in society and know that God is in control. God is on his way back. Revelation is true. I know it's a vision. I know it's a prophecy, it's a prophetic book, but we're living in the last church age, and God is soon to come back. Hallelujah. The saints used to say that all the time. But we can look at the times that we're living in and say, yep, 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 yep. So Rebekah had faith to wait and to trust God's judgments against the Chaldeans based on God's vision and the future fulfillment of the vision. So Rebekah, God said, I'm going to get my people. But the people I'm going to get them with, oh, I'm going to judge them too. And if their judgment is going to be worse than the spanking I'm going to give my people. So the Bible says in Matthew 4 and 10, ye shall worship the Lord our God, and him only shall you serve. If we look at worship, and we're going to wrap it up, we worship God. God has the final say. We worship him. We worship one God, our Father in heaven, who has given us his Son, who died on the cross. And he sent back the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and all are one. We have to have a regimen. And I gave you 20 points. If anybody wants those, they can get them from me. But we must set the stage to know that we must worship God. In conclusion, even when we don't understand the ways of God and are confused and perplexed by God's movements, we are nevertheless called to live by faith. We will not be able to stand in this evil day where injustice seems to take control without worshiping the Creator who created us. We have been created to worship God, to give him praise, to the Almighty King who sacrificed his Son in order that we may live that life more abundantly. We live in the hope that God's judgment and justice will prevail in our lives. When we wait on that which God has promised, it is not a lie on which we have fixed our hearts, but it is not a vain hope that we bear no fruit either. It is a promise that surely will come. The one who made the promise is none other than God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who stands above all human history, God who promised us and cannot lie, who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This God says that it will surely come. Hard times and difficult seasons will definitely come to an end. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for every opportunity, every person on the line today. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing, God. We thank you, God, for those that have set their Saturday mornings aside to come and listen to your word. We pray, God, that you'll bless them abundantly, Father God, that the word spoken will be added strength to their lives right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that they go back and read these scripture texts in the name of Jesus, that they may find strength and hope in the promises that you've given us. And we pray, God, that you allow us to be greater worshipers, greater people of faith, God, and that we will wait watchers in the name of Jesus. We pray for our co-host, God, that you will bless them abundantly, bless her abundantly. We pray for all those that are walking up right before you. We pray for all pastors, all ministers, all people of God. We pray for them. And now, Father God, maybe there will be somebody that will listen to this blog talk and say, what must I do to be saved? I pray right now that you'll say these prayers with me. Father God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I've sinned against you. I pray that you'll come into my heart, my mind, and my soul and live in me forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you said those words, praise God, you're saved. Find you a good church home in the name of Jesus. And if you need questions or you have questions about your salvation, give me a call, 309-750-7584. Until we meet again, I pray, or talk again, I pray, God, that you'll be safe, that you'll live the abundant life and find time to worship the Creator. If you can do it morning, noon, and evening, do it, because there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. God bless. See you next time.